I am indebted to Brother Jared Jackson, who runs the ChristianCourier.com website with his father, Brother Wayne Jackson, for the excellent article on this subject that we're about to discuss. I borrowed heavily from that article for this sermon, and I certainly wanted to give credit where credit is due. One of the goals that most of us need to set or at least revise as we look ahead into 2013, as we talked about this morning, pertains to personal evangelism. Personal evangelism is evangelism on a personal basis. That makes sense, doesn't it? We understand that there could be many different levels of evangelism. The work that is conducted by the congregation in certain ways and in certain areas of outreach is definitely a manner of evangelism, but there are times when you and I personally have opportunities to carry the gospel to those around us on a personal level, on a one-on-one level. That's what we mean by personal evangelism. And so with that in mind, so far as a definition is concerned, we need to answer the question, am I an evangelist? In all likelihood, most of us, if approached by someone with that question, just on the cuff or off the cuff, whichever the case may be, would probably say, no, I'm not an evangelist. Why, that's what Brother Phillips does. That Brother Northern, that's his job. We've got a couple of evangelists over there at the Redland Road congregation, but no, I'm just a member of the church. That's probably what most folks would say. How often do we pass up opportunities to make an effort to lead someone to Christ? The songs that we just sang were selected and they were worded specifically to remind each one of us of our duty in that area. How much personal evangelism do we have in our plan for 2013? In the Bible, we find numerous examples of both men and women who took their duty very seriously enough to dedicate their lives and the lives of their families to the task of telling God's will to those around them. There is one particular man in the Old Testament that we remember for his reluctance to serve as God wanted him to serve. Moses just didn't want to do it. He had a list of excuses. He said, Lord, I'm not eloquent and I'm not a good speaker. They won't listen to me. They won't pay any attention. Lord, get somebody else. Moses just couldn't imagine himself being God's spokesman before Pharaoh. But God convinced him to take the job, and God promised to provide whatever he needed for the task. There was one thing that Moses wasn't quite clear on at the very beginning of that story. And that was the fact that Jehovah was not requesting that he go back to save the children of Israel. He was commanding him to do so. Similarly, we need to understand that the Lord didn't just ask us to help bring the lost in to Him. He commands it. If you have been saved from your sins, it is expected of you to bring others to the Savior. It is expected that you will be an evangelist. This evening, there are three things that I want to share with you, and I'm going to do so without the benefit of PowerPoint. little bit for a change of pace and a little bit because I don't know if you noticed, but I had some trouble with some formatting this morning on some of the fonts, and I didn't want that to happen again tonight. And so take good notes. Three things. First of all, let's think about the Great Commission and the fact that every member is an evangelist. We find our marching orders in the clearest fashion in a couple of accounts in the Bible of the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, where Jesus told his disciples to go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Mark records the same facts in similar wording in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. The term evangelist generally is only found a couple of times in the New Testament, particularly the King James translation, but it comes from an original term in the Greek language, which is sometimes translated into other words in English. But so far as we're concerned with the word evangelist tonight, it is actually an anglicized Greek word, euangelistes, or something like that. It refers to one who proclaims the good message. A gospel herald. In the general sense of the use of the term in Scripture, any person, male or female, who brings the gospel to others through a variety of different means is an evangelist. One who tells the good message. There are many specific cases where the Bible refers to gospel preachers. And in those cases, it's always referring to men. But in the general sense, the word evangelist can apply to a male or female because evangelist is not restricted as a descriptive term only of standing in a pulpit and proclaiming a sermon to a mixed group of people. In a public sense, evangelism has to do with telling God's message on any level, through any means. You don't have to be a preacher to be an evangelist. Spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ is the work of evangelism. There's no mistaking what Jesus was saying when he gave the Great Commission. There have always been efforts on the part of many to try to figure out some way why that shouldn't have to apply to me, that applies to everybody else, or that applies to just certain people like preachers, teachers, elders in the church. But evangelism is a work for every single member. Evangelism, in the second place, is a very rewarding work. If you knew that you would be dead within 24 hours, what would you do? What would fill the final hours of your life? During his last hours, Jesus took the time to wash the dirty feet of his apostles. Why did he do that? Well, the answer that Jesus gave is recorded in John chapter 13 and verse 14. He said, if I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Now, let's don't get tangled up in the mechanics of exactly what Jesus was doing, let's remember that there's a principle that he was expressing and a reason for expressing it on that occasion. The reason first. The disciples had just moments before been arguing among themselves as to who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Jesus laid aside his outer garments, took up the towel and the basin of water, and proceeded to perform a task that no one else apparently was willing to do. No provision had been made for the appropriate servant to be there to do that lowly task. And so Jesus took it upon himself. That was the occasion. That was the reason for doing what he did, to teach his disciples a tremendous lesson on humility. The principle behind all of this is clear and still stands today as one of the wonderful things about Christianity. Christianity is a religion immersed in service and sacrifice. Service and sacrifice. From the king down to the very most humble member, we serve because he serves us. We're commanded to serve our brethren, even to serve our enemies. And perhaps the most ironic thing about the type of service demanded by Jesus is that in serving others, we find the greatest sense of fulfillment. And on a subject where, as I said a few minutes ago, a lot of people are trying to figure out some reason why that doesn't apply to me, what we ought to be seeing is this is one of the grandest opportunities to render a service to someone in a way that is needed and in fact far exceeds all other needs. The need to be taught the gospel. And in taking up that work of evangelism, we may be able to experience the greatest sense of fulfillment that there is. You will never be more content than when you help someone else improve his station in life, and especially when you help someone improve his relationship with the Creator. Let's conclude all of this by looking at two or three ways that we may be able to be an evangelist. You may not be able to fill the specific role of preacher or teacher or elder or deacon, but in the general sense, every one of us can be an evangelist. We can be an evangelist, number one, by going about and doing good. That's how Peter described the work of Jesus as he was teaching Cornelius and his household in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. He said, "The Lord went about doing good." Paul summed it up in Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we'll reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith." I see we've even got a couple of Boy Scouts in the audience tonight. You know, for years, the Boy Scouts were known for their habit of performing a daily good deed. The young scout was encouraged to begin each day with a daily good deed, if possible, nothing spectacular, just something nice for someone that otherwise wouldn't get done. Why wouldn't we as Christians not be known for something like that. Going about doing good. Good deeds are the first tools of evangelism. They open doors. They let people know we care. In a time where people are so busy and so caught up with everything that's going on around them, all that pertains to success and the pursuit of it, what a golden opportunity we have to be of service to people in a way that will make an indelible impression and open the doors to opportunities to teach them about Jesus. We may evangelize by talking to friends, family members, and associates. Now, the fact is, sometimes that is some of the most difficult work to do. Some of the people that we may be the very closest to may be the ones who are the most resistant to sitting down with us and talking about Jesus. Try this formula. Instead of trying to win an argument, try just letting the person know that you've been praying for them, or that you're thinking about them, and that you're concerned. Many times that person, when approached with that information, will try to reassure you that they're doing fine. I'm okay. Don't worry about me. You don't need to be praying for... Oh, yes. Perhaps that could lead to a conversation about Scripture, or at least a commitment out of them to sit down and take a few minutes to watch a DVD or to read a bit of Bible information, a tract or a Bible correspondence course lesson. Sometimes the smallest things will open a door to a discussion. You may be evangelistic through helping evangelistic works that are ongoing, that are bigger than we are. It's a big world out there. I'm told that there are almost 5 billion people living in it. It would be pretty tough for you and me by ourselves to reach all 5 billion people out there. There are limitations of daily living, family responsibilities, geographical location. Those kind of things limit our outreach. And most of us would probably have to say, well, you know, I don't really have much outreach beyond just the scope of a few people that I see from time to time. In cooperating with others and supporting efforts that are reaching out further, we can be instrumental in helping to spread the borders of God's kingdom. Financial, moral, or physical support of mission efforts around us are all very important, and they are effective ways to be evangelistic. Now, be responsible. Don't go up to the first thing you see and the time of year that has just passed, it would probably be a little red kettle in front of Winn-Dixie or Walmart. Let's make sure we understand and know what we're helping. It is not proper for God's people to support efforts that do not preach the truth. It is not appropriate for God's people to help further the cause of those who are teaching false doctrine. There are plenty of works, plenty of causes within the Lord's church, within the brotherhood, those that we are very familiar with, those that go forth from this congregation and from other congregations like this, who are always needing financial support and encouragement and so forth. Be careful, but be helpful. We can be evangelistic by encouraging those who lead and serve. Elders, deacons, preachers, teachers, all need our encouragement as they labor under all manner of burdens that are sometimes not even very noticeable. You see, the business of evangelism is really the business of living the Christian life. Being the kind of influence that God wants us to be, being the salt and the light that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 5, 13 to 16. Don't categorize yourself as a nobody in the church. There are none of those in the Lord's church. There are none of those in this congregation. We are all, every one of us, evangelists. Let's do the work of an evangelist. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.